guys. Welcome to another episode of the Lawn Care Leaders Podcast. I am super, super excited about today. I am joined with special guest Logan Patterson from NWA Turf. Logan and his company are out of Springdale, Arkansas. They were founded in August of 2018, or I guess rather, Logan, that's when you took over the business. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Britt. How are you doing?
Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. Hanging in there. Yeah. No, it's been a good week. How about you?
It's been good. We need some rain down here in Arkansas, though. I don't know I think you guys have been getting quite a bit more than we have, but we haven't gotten basically a drop in about 3 weeks. So getting pretty dry down here.
Yeah, we've been about the same. So we've had the last 3 weeks, we've had a couple days of rain, but it hasn't really amounted to much. So I'm with you, man. What was it like leading up to that? Did you guys have pretty steady rain?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because if you told me we were going to be drought stressed by the end of June, I would have laughed in your face in May because it was cold and rainy all May. And I think we're a little bit different than you guys up in Kansas City. We have pretty much all Bermuda and Georgia down here. Yeah. There are some exceptions to that rule. Fescue, you know, you'll get some fescue in yards, but it's just not very common. But you know, when Bermuda grass starts struggling with drought stress, it's been a long time since you've had a rain and we're starting to get some crispy yards. Mm. So yeah, we need a good rain really bad.
Yeah, that'll be, I want to jump into that too, because we don't get a lot of people on the podcast, or we haven't had a lot of people on the podcast that have warm season grass. So it'd be nice to speak to all them Southern boys out there and see if we can't help them out. Yeah, that's crazy. So that the actual Bermuda and Zoysia is getting crispy. It couldn't have been green that long, right? I mean, how long ago did it green up?
Yeah, I'd say we started, you know, we pretty much always start turning green in April, but, I was taught something in school, and it's the 150 degree rule. Bermuda may green up, start to get growth across it a little bit, but until your nighttime low and your daytime high equal 150 degrees, we're not getting that horizontal growth really at all. Hmm. So like if you come out with a weak or thin spot in April and May, until you get that, it's the nighttime temperature that ends up hurting you a lot more than the daytime temperature. Because, you know, if you're up to 80 in the day, but you're still at 50 at night, I'm still 20 degrees off of that 150 degree mark. So it's something we have to educate a lot of customers with is, you know, just because your grass is greening up doesn't mean it's actually, going to start filling in yet. But we usually don't see it start really growing horizontally until June. And it kind of sucks because we got all that rain, but the weather was so cool in May. We were really, really green in most cases, but we weren't getting the fill in from, you know, winter kill or spring dead spot or anything that was coming out. So, you know, we went straight from the cool wet to the hot dry, and we've still got some spots where spring dead spot hasn't even filled back in yet because it just hasn't gotten any water the past couple of weeks.
Man, that's awesome. The 150 degree rule. I like that. I'm gonna have to steal that. Logan, you might be on my favorites page on my iPhone after this.
I don't know about that.
No, that's a really good insight. And I think it can go, I mean, we could almost use that here in KC for our Rhizoctonia, our brown patch stuff. Because once nighttime temperatures creep above like 71, 72 and stay there on average, that's when brown patch really takes off. It is a little different here in KC, but what we saw was we had like a weird, like we had overcast skies for what felt like 2.5 months. And it's not like our rain, we didn't have record rains, but it was frequent rains with overcast skies. And so the water was just like sitting there, and our cool season grass, it was almost in like a dormant state. So the water was sitting there. And then now what's happened is boom, the weather switched, and all we needed were those high nighttime temperatures with that moisture and brown patches just going crazy here on this cool season grass.
Yep. That's essentially the exact same. Yep. But the Bermuda is going to be totally opposite of anything that the fescue does. Yeah. So like you said, when you start getting hammered with brown patch, we're going to start getting, I mean, the humidity is still crazy high.
Yeah.
So you'd think there'd be, usually get these pop-up thunderstorms in the summertime, and I don't know. I'm just praying for one any day now. We need one really bad.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. And this time of year for most lawn care companies that are doing, you know, fertilizing, weed control. It's just each season is different, but it's a huge season of customer service. You're kind of out of marketing and sales, and now it's into customer service mode. So
yep,
across
yep.
all scopes of grass, you're still dealing with diseases and drought stress and watering issues. And so that's huge. Well, let's circle back around and kind of get your entry into the business, how you wound up running NWA Turf Pro. So I want to hear the origin story. First, want to before we jump into that, I want to say a big thank you to our listeners. If you guys have joined us recently, we would love for you to subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review, some honest feedback, and we like to hear how we're doing, but subscribing helps us and we're able to reach more people just like you. And that's the goal with all this, is we're trying to add value, get quality content out there so that you guys can learn from our mistakes and our lessons. So, all right, back to you, Logan. Hit me with the origin story. How did you wind up running NWA Turf Pro?
So it kind of depends on how long of a story you want, but I guess we got a little bit of time. We can go a little bit of the longer route. I started working at a baseball complex when I was a junior in high school, and that's where I kind of just got interested in grass and the turf industry. And I think I just knew, even going into college, I just didn't want to sit at a desk my whole life. I wanted to be outside, wanted to be doing something with my hands, wanted to be up and around, meeting people, talking to people. And so I think that's where I kind of got interested in it. And then I went to school at Arkansas Tech for my undergrad. And my actual degree was in recreation and park administration with emphasis in turf grass science, which it wasn't a whole lot of turf. It was a little bit, but for the most part, it was just recreation and park administration. But it kind of helped me with a lot of people skills and just a little bit of business knowledge and just all around different things that have led into what I'm doing now. And so I kind of wanted to go the baseball route first going into the turf grass industry.
Yeah.
But I met, a guy in Van Buren named Raymond Harvey, who owned a lawn care industry when we were actually prepping for a World Series in 2012, and just kind of got to talking to him. And he said, "Hey, if you ever are interested in what we do, all this stuff." And he was actually, I don't know if you guys have permagreens. I'm sure a lot of you guys have permagreens.
We don't, but yeah, a lot of guys around us do. Yeah. I've seen them all over the place.
Yeah, I don't have any permagreens now either, but he was running around on a permagreen helping us get that baseball field ready. And I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I don't know what that, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
So I just kind of got interested in what he was doing then. And so in 2014, it was my junior year of college. I needed an internship with an industry that was related to my degree. And so I called him back in Van Buren and got an internship with him in 2014. And that was when I started working in this industry that I'm in now, which is weed control and fertilization. And so I was with him from 2014 all the way through August 2018. I was there part-time, you know, working the summers. I still had to go back to school, and then I would help out a couple times a week whenever I had the opportunity. So I finished my undergraduate degree in 2015 and then came to Arkansas to get my master's the following year. And that was when I came to Fayetteville, lived with some guys up here, and Raymond had a few customers up here at the time. It was mostly commercial, just a couple residential customers, but it wasn't a lot. And that was when, I kind of was like, hey, I like what I'm doing right now, but I don't want to live in my hometown for the rest of my life. I want to be in Northwest Arkansas. I feel like even as a 22-year-old, saw the opportunity up here, saw how much the area was growing, just saw a lot of potential for a business to be up here. And so I just started meeting people up here, slowly gaining customers. And at first I didn't even have a truck up here. Days I didn't have school, I'd do like school Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I would go back down to Van Buren Tuesdays and Thursdays to help him out. But then on we just had enough customers to keep me busy up here for like a month out of the year. So yeah. Long story short, gained a lot of customers, got to the point where we got a storage unit, started treating more yards up here. And then by the time that I ended up purchasing the company from him in August of 2018, we had about 150 customers. Oh, wow. So we went from, you know, 20 to 150 in the 3 years or like 2.5 years that I was in school. Wow. And that was just, and that was no marketing or anything. That was wow. just meeting people, running into people while I was out spraying, friends of mine that I had that were buying homes, you know, just all kinds of different reasons cool. of meeting people without like, I've never gone out and hung a door before yeah. or yeah. knocked on a door or just called people. I don't really like growing my business that way anyway. And that's just not how Raymond really taught me to do it. And it wasn't a style that I really liked either. I have no problem with growing your business that way. That's just not the way I yeah. Personally like to do it.
But it sounds like you're still selling. It's just more organic and you do it through key relationships and just kind of as you're out in the community. Well, it's very smart. I mean, a lot of young guys in your situation wouldn't look around and see like, hey, you know, there's economic growth over here. Maybe I should try to move in that general area and see that it's more densely populated, whatever. It's just so unique. I've got so many questions. Number one is what was the reason for the master's? You know, did somebody push you towards that or what happened to make you want to get your master's in turfgrass science? The other thing is it's very unique that you went to another location and this guy entrusted you with his name, his brand to continue that in that new location. So how did that look practically? And like, what was that conversation like? And then, I think our listeners would love to know more about that. Cause I think that's really cool. Maybe a guy's out there right now and he's number one in charge or 2, 3, 4. And he's thinking to himself, well, dude, maybe I can go to Billy and do that myself. You know, we've always wanted to start a location here. So
yeah.
Speak to that a little more. Cause that's super interesting to me.
Yeah. And well, that was actually our original goal was to do that was for me to move up here and kind of start to run that branch for him. And I think it just ended up being a thing where he didn't want to have the stress of basically starting over, I think was a lot of it. So honestly, when I moved up here and started it, it was never my goal to own the business. I'm more or less wanting to work for him to grow it for him, be the manager or whatever you would call it of this branch of Turf Pro. He's just Turf Pro. I'm NWA Turf Pro. He's just Turf Pro. So when we bought it, we actually kept the name and the logo of the company. And to be honest with you, the master's degree, I thought there was a lot more for me to learn, turf wise. And as far as my undergraduate, I learned a little bit, but I had learned a lot more just with experience actually treating the lawns. But I wanted to get a master's degree because I just thought there was a lot more for me to learn. And I had met Dr. Carter and Dr. Richardson, just at some turfgrass field days, at Arkansas. They host a turfgrass field day every other year and they speak and they have graduate students and other students do presentations of like what they're studying and all that. And I just thought it would be beneficial for me to just have a wider variety of knowledge in the turfgrass industry if I came and got my master's degree. And I'm a guy that's like, I like school. I don't love school, but I do really love to learn. You know, the projects and all that can get really monotonous and I don't love it, but I can force myself to do it because I can see the bigger picture. And I think the bigger picture for me was, you know, if for some reason this doesn't work out long term, a master's degree is going to qualify me for a lot more jobs than just an undergraduate degree.
Okay.
So I think that was mostly my motivation to do it. And my motivation was to get out of my hometown. Like I love Van Buren, love where I grew up. I was like, I'm not sitting here for the next 3 years living at my parents' house and just hanging out, running, you know, being a technician in Turf Pro. Like I just had a bigger dream than that, I think.
Yeah.
And so it was like your
ambition coupled with the fact that you wanted to get out of your hometown. It just kind of made sense.
Exactly.
Pull you out of there. And that's awesome.
For sure.
And would you say it was beneficial? Like if you had to do it all over again, would you go back and just continue learning as you go? Or would you go back and do your master's all over again?
Well, I think it was cool because Arkansas offers two different kinds of master's degree. You can do a thesis master's degree, which is you're doing research for the school and you basically get paid to do that. You have to pay a little bit, but they pay you a stipend, pay for a lot of your school, but you have to write a giant thesis at the end of it. I did a non-thesis master's degree, which made me go to school a little longer. I had to take more hours of class, but I could still work while I did it. because I didn't have to spend all my time doing a research project. So I had a small research project, but it was nothing compared to the ones that all my peers were doing. Yeah, I kind of got the best of both worlds. I got to learn in school while still gaining experience on the job as well. But it was awesome because, you know, when you're in school, you learn a lot of things, but you're not really able to apply them immediately. Well, I was in classes to where I could literally go to class, and if I had something to go back to work later that day, I could go back to work and apply what I just learned in a class almost immediately.
Yeah.
And I have two guys with doctorate degrees in turfgrass science that are basically at my fingertips. Anytime I want to ask them a question or learn from them, I could go to them directly because I was in their classes.
That's awesome.
So it was kind of the best of both worlds because I was learning and applying at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. You're literally hands-on all day, every day. And you've got an ace in the hole with your professors. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so now catch me up to, I don't want to skip over this, but I would love to know the details around how did the conversation go when you decided to buy the company? Did he approach you about it? And then share as little or as much as you want. You know, I would love to know, like, how much did you buy it for? How many clients did you have? Did you pay upfront cash or was it payments over time? How just give me as many details around that as you can.
Yeah. So it definitely was not one conversation. It was a long, long process. I think it was a lot longer than both of us wanted it to be, but I think we also both had a mutual respect for each other that we wanted to do it the right way and still maintain a relationship afterwards. It wasn't anything malicious. It wasn't any type of like, wasn't happy or anything like that. It was more just like, I needed help because it was getting, Northwest Arkansas, I'm sure most people don't know what it looks like here, but it's a pretty big area. It's four cities stacked on top of each other with smaller cities on the outside. And it's growing like crazy. It's one of the fastest growing areas in the United States.
And it's literally on top of each other. I mean, we were talking off air. The roads, you go to drive 7 miles and it's going to take you an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. when you're in town though, it's like that too. But as far as like you get on the interstate, you can go from Fayetteville to Springdale to Rogers to Bentonville and not even know that you've changed cities. Because they're just sitting on top of each other.
Yep.
So you're talking about four cities up here with about at least 80,000 people apiece. Wow. So, you know, we're in Springdale, which is kind of in the middle of that. So we can go north or south pretty easy and cover that entire area. So nice. We have basically, I think it's about 1 million people that are already here with more people moving in every day. Like if you came down here, you would not believe the amount of construction, the amount of homes that are going up. So like those are business opportunities that are being built every single day for us. And I think what happened was I was just one guy and I was trying to do it by myself and I was getting frustrated because it's such a large area and I couldn't care for the customers the way that I wanted to. Like I was only one person and from Bella Vista, which is the furthest north, which is a city right outside of Bentonville, down to South Fayetteville, that's an hour apart.
Yeah.
Well, if I had a service call I needed to go do in Fayetteville, but I was trying to run a route in Bella Vista, going and running that service call in Fayetteville would completely ruin my whole day of production.
Oh yeah.
So I couldn't get enough production done and take care of the customers the way that I wanted to because, you know, it was either service calls or production is getting put on the back burner and neither one of those is a good thing. The yards are going to end up getting to the point where they're just not looking good. And like I think I told you this, I maybe just told you this, but we had about 150 customers whenever I bought it. 150 customers all spread out is a lot of people to try to take care of. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I was all over the place. And I think it just got to the point where I kept wanting help. And he just wasn't in a place where he wanted to do that at the time. He didn't want to spend the extra money, you know, spend that money at that time to be able to provide the help. So I think it basically got to the situation where I buy it and start doing it for myself or, you know, I just have to move on because I'm not going to work, you know, 100 hours a week to try to take care of all this. It wasn't worth it to me. Quality of life, I think, is the biggest, thing that I hold near and dear to me is I don't want to work my life away. I want to work hard when I'm at work, but when I go home, I want to be, you know, I want to be with my wife. I want to hang out. I want to do what I want to do and not have to worry about work, you know?
Yep.
And so I just think the amount of hours it was going to take for me to care for all these customers, just me by myself, just wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it for me.
Yep. And you are in that gray space at that time. Cause I remember that for us as well. I was at 150 lawn application accounts, doing some landscaping, some mowing. And it was like, well, I'm not, you know, I was literally, I can't hire somebody yet. Or do I do it? I just kill myself for another year. I do remember what it seemed like once I got to like 300 and was able to hire somebody, that's where it broke free a little bit. So,
and that was the biggest thing to me. I was like, I have to get help. I have to have somebody that can help me. And that's immediately after it was purchased, my dad was helping me out anyway. Like had already started helping me, but a month after we purchased it, we had a guy come in and started being a technician and just my right hand guy. And, that just relieved so much stress from us because, you know, I could have him just run production every day while I'm taking calls from customers, going to do service calls, hitting as much production as I can. But I wasn't just running myself ragged and not, and like basically spending all my time on the road. That's what I was doing. Yeah. I was literally driving all day. That's all I did. It wasn't hardly any lawn care. It was all driving.
Yep.
And if we had done it different, I think we would have for sure limited the areas that we took in customers from the beginning. You know, it was hard to do that though, cause we had commercial accounts everywhere, but you know, commercial customers are not like residential customers. They're consistently mowing.
Yeah.
They don't pay attention near as close. It's not as personal to them as it is as a residential customer. So like, I think we would have, or I would have personally, if it was mine, would have, kept those commercial accounts. That's fine. But residentially, I would have stayed in the South part, like just Washington County. I wouldn't have gone to Benton County.
Yeah.
I would have stayed just in Springdale and Fayetteville. That way I could have gotten more customers down here and not been driving all over the place.
Yeah.
But then you're sitting there going, oh my gosh, I'm losing out on so much business. Mm-hmm. Like if I turn these people away, they're going to go get somebody else. And if they're happy with them, I'll never get them back again.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yep.
So I
and
think
like
it was,
you said, it's hard when there's that much growth, you know, when there's a million people in four or five surrounding cities, it's hard to turn that down because you can envision yourself in that area. You're like, well, I get one, but man, I could get 20 and then that's a day's worth. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
I fought that all the time. I fought that all the time. Okay. So yeah, that's awesome, man. A really cool, unique story. I love your rise in like right through, it seems like groundskeeping and then getting your master's. Seems like you were really ambitious, really driven for the industry. And now catch us up. Where are you now? Like how many team members do you have? How many clients? What do things look like currently for NWA Turf?
Yep. So, after we purchased it, we just were able to start growing it. And then, so like I said, we bought it at 150, customers, and that was August, 2018. So we're June of 2020. And we've got 570 individual customers now.
Wow.
And that's like I was telling you earlier, I haven't knocked on a door. I haven't hung a door hanger. I haven't done anything. This is just people. We got a good, one of my really good buddies, business partners it helped me design my website. We got a really good website where I think we pop up a lot when people Google lawn care.
Mm-hmm.
And then
y'all are booming, man. 150 to 570 is what you said?
Yeah. And that's just individual customers. Some of these people are like group bill customers. So the number of programs we actually have is 679.
Okay. So you're just under 700 actual like properties.
Yeah. Accounts.
Yeah. That's what I want to go off of. Yeah. That is awesome. That is awesome. So I'm sitting here thinking, dude, this guy's not doing much marketing. So either you're like the best looking guy in Arkansas or you guys have the best looking lawns or a combo of both. Like what's going on? Help us out out here.
Not the best looking.
We've got a guy out here. He's got, let's say he's got 40 to 50 accounts in Missouri. What are you going to tell him? Like, hey man, get a slick website and be nice to everybody. Yeah. What's your secret sauce?
I mean, I do think it is a lot of personal relationships. And that was, I mean, you sent me over a little thing, just kind of some questions you might ask me. And that was one thing I definitely wanted to share was That was a big thing that Raymond taught me, was personal relationships. Because when people, if you can build a personal relationship with people, when times get tough, coronavirus hits, they get laid off from their job, right? They sit down as a family to decide what they're going to keep and what they're going to get rid of. And if they get sit down and they're looking at their bills and they say NWA Turf Pro treats our yard, is that something that we really have to have right now?
Yeah.
The answer to that question is probably going to be no. But if they know Logan Patterson, or they know Jake Lloyd or Luz Perez or any other of my technicians that I have, it's a lot harder to fire Logan Patterson than it is to get rid of NWA Turf Pro. Because they know that we're putting, you know, that what we're doing is also providing for our family.
Yeah.
Just like they're trying to make the best decision for their family.
Yeah.
So we want, when people sit down to make that decision, for that not to be an easy decision to cut NWA Turf Pro.
That's great. And yeah. I say over and over again to our team, it's always harder to fire somebody that you're friends with.
100%.
When I first started, I think it was literally my first or second year in business, I met a subcontractor out here, and he's this redneck out of Osawatomie, Kansas, super nice guy. And he ended up feeding us quite a few referrals. But that's his sage wisdom. You know, he was just spouting off. He talks quicker than he can think. And he rattled that off one day, and it just stuck with me. He's like, you know, it's always harder to fire somebody you're friends with. And I was like, you know what? That's true. And you said it perfectly, man. Like, when they sit down, you want them to think Logan Patterson. Give a shout out to your technicians. What were their names again?
Jake Lloyd, Luz Perez, Derek Barr, who's actually – he is moving on here pretty soon. He's going to go work a pest control job, which is where he kind of came from in the first place. And he's been a big time help for us. And I couldn't do this without, I had to mention Garrison Gaddis too. He was the first guy we hired, and it broke my heart to see him go, but he ended up going, helping out his family business. You know, we want to be a place of all, we obviously want guys to stay. We want to pay them well, treat them well. We don't want to burn them out.
Yeah.
But we wanted this to be an environment that they want to be in. And I think it was just as hard for him to leave as it was for me to watch him go. But, you know, whenever it's family business, it's hard to argue that. You know, he needed to go do what was best for him. And I think that's what he decided was best for him. And I can't argue with that, you know, but without Garrison, we wouldn't be where we're at today. That's awesome. It's cool because Garrison and Jake are actually cousins.
Oh, cool.
And so we still talk to Garrison all the time, and I think he'll still be involved with Turf Pro going forward. We just got to figure out in what capacity, but we'll figure that out as we go on down the road. But yeah, definitely a shout out to Garrison, Jake, and Luz, and Derek for all the help that they've had. And we wouldn't be here without them. So
that's awesome.
I'm definitely thankful for each of those guys.
That's cool. Yeah. Shout out to those guys doing big things with you, man. That's cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, sounds like you've got a good team and you're moving in the right direction there. So let me ask you this. What are your current pain points? What are you working on right now in your business?
So I think, I think that early on, especially when I first bought it, there was a lot of, I need to price this just to get the job. And I've learned over the past, year and a half, almost 2 years now, that I'm not trying to race to the bottom. And it's been kind of a hard thing to learn, but if we're going to provide the best service, we can't also provide the best price. So like, we just got a customer last week. They talked to Jake, one of my technicians, and they said,
all right, guys, I wanted to take a quick break from our show and thank our sponsors who make this show possible. And first up is Jobber. All right, you've heard us talk on a lot of the growth segments about putting systems in place to make sure you're winning and you're able to get your hands on data and that you're doing it efficiently and professionally. So we've used Jobber since 2012, and I think that was the year that they opened up. I run a company called Green Again Lawn, and we've used it since day one at Green Again. And again, it is everything from reporting to mapping and routing your clients to invoicing, quoting. You can collect payments easily on there. They make it super simple. So we appreciate our partnership with Jobber, and we love those guys over there. Also, we've got Intentional Growth Advisors. If you're looking at merging with a company, buying or selling a company, look no further than IGA, Intentional Growth Advisors. They also do green industry coaching, consulting to help you implement spreadsheets, systems, and operational tactics as well. So they'll come in on the ground level and actually help you with the operations. So now, appreciate our sponsors. We're going to head back to the show, and hope you guys enjoy this one.
Company. I have a lawn care company, and they don't have time to come out and spot spray my weeds, give me a service call. They won't come over and do it. And I was like, I just can't imagine being so busy that I can't go take care of one of my customers that I already had, you know, because I would rather keep a customer than have to go out and try to find a new one. It's a lot easier to just keep people that you have than continuously being in that trying to grow stage. Like you said, I think when we were talking, we're in the maintaining spot now. We're picking up new sales here and there, but for the most part now, it's just caring for the people that we have, making sure that they're happy and satisfied with the service that we're providing them. And I don't want us to ever be a company where we are too busy to go and do a service call. We won't be that company. And I think that's a lot. And, you know, you ask how we're growing like we are. I think it's another huge reason for that is because when people contact us, we answer the phone. And if we don't answer the phone, we call them back. We don't just leave people high and dry. We make sure that if they have a problem or an issue or something going on, that we take, we go and take care of them.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. It's funny. The other day I had, and when I'm talking to competitors or guys in my area, you know, I just kind of smile and nod. I don't really get into it. I don't talk as much as I do on the podcast with our competitors around here. But a guy was saying, you know, I had a guy call in for a quote, and I told him, well, I can be there in 2 weeks, maybe. And he was like bragging about it. He's like, I'm that busy. In 2 weeks, maybe. And I was just in the back of my mind, I was thinking, you either need to raise your prices, hire somebody, something. But you gotta figure that out, because that's not impressive to me. That's poor customer service, and the scales are tipped. It's a good problem to have, but it's not a problem that you want to live with. You know, everybody wants to get to that point where they're so busy, they raise their prices, they hire people, but once you're there, you gotta do something about it. And that it was a good point about price, because you can get as many clients as you want. All you gotta do is lower your price. So if you want to be the lowest shop in town, you're going to get clients, but you're also going to be dealing with a lot of other headaches. And I always think about it in three different categories. You know, you can either be the lowest price in town. You can be the best, like the absolute best on all ends, best truck, best products, best team members, or you can fall in the middle, which is where I think like 70% of clients would fall, which is like the relationship piece. You know, you're not the most expensive, you're not the cheapest, but you have the best relationship. It's the company that's going to charge a premium, but you're going to be there. They know you, they know your name, and so you focus more on the relationship piece, and that's where all the value is found. We benefit from both, honestly, because we pick up clients from people who are pissed because they went with the lowest guy in town. And then we pick up clients.
Those are the best.
Those are the best ones. Yeah. I always say, I'm like, well, I'm not going to kick dirt in their face, but they suck. That's for sure. But it's on the flip side too, because we take people from the best, because they're like, okay, I'm being charged $100 per app. Why do I not know my guy, you know? And that's where we fall. We fall in the relationship piece, and we try to live in that spot. I mean, it sounds like that's where you're at, Logan.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely want to be in that spot. We don't want to be, you know, like you're saying, I love it when somebody comes to me and they're like, well, I got the cheapest price from them. And I'm like, well, my parents always from day one taught me you get what you pay for. If a person calls me and they're looking for quotes and they're getting quotes from like five people, I'm like, we ain't getting that guy, like, or that lady. They're not going to go with us. And I don't want them to go with us because they're not looking for the best service. They're just looking for the cheapest price. But the cheapest price also comes with the cheapest customer service. So, you know, we don't ever want to be in that realm.
Yep.
And I'd say we're definitely, you know, in the same spot as you. We want to be the people that are always there for their customers, the people that they see the same technician each time they come out. And that's why I hate turnover. I hate having to get new technicians. As far as like not hiring new guys, that's always a good thing. But like, it's always nice for people. That's their biggest complaint a lot of times when I come to a customer is, every time they come out here, it's a different guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that can't happen here. I need to be able to send the same guy to that property every single time.
Yep.
And, you know, there's obviously times, and it's happened to me already a couple times, like people move on to better themselves. You can't argue with that, but going forward, you've got to find somebody to replace them that's just going to do as good of a job or a better job than them. And that's hard to find. Hiring people is hard, and it always will be. But I think it's critical to take the time and interview enough people and hire the right people to do the job the way that you want it to be done.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And at least it's good that you're saying that, because when you know something, you know that it's either a problem or something that you need to lean into. A lot of guys, they don't know that's a problem, or they just ignore it and they think, oh, it doesn't really matter. But it sounds like you're really listening to your customers and you truly care. And so with that comes the intentionality. You're going to lean into that issue. Well, tell me this. So we've got a guy with a master's degree on here. So I want to throw you a couple curveballs, because I'm interested.
Oh,
and I know our audience is interested. Talk about your program. Talk about the Zoysian Bermuda that you're seeing. Lay out in detail what does your program look like, and just give us, let's dive into the weeds a little bit and get a little tactical here.
So we do a 7-step program a year. If it's a residential customer, unless there's some weird circumstance, I require them to do at least 5 applications. That being said, the biggest reason I've came with that is, one, I know it gets hard whenever you have applications that are, or like rounds that are so loaded, as far as with business, that you have one round with, say, $50,000 of business in it, and then another round with $35,000 in it. So it's like, now, because I have this one round so highly weighted, I need 3 guys to get through that round in time, but I only need 2 guys to get through this round in time.
Yeah.
So if you sell a bunch of partial programs, you get to the point where you need more people in certain rounds and not in other rounds.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to have a lot of rounds that are loaded like that. So if I require everyone to get 5 applications, I can almost guarantee myself I'm only going to wait 2 applications low. And those 2 spots that are lower for me are round 5 and round 7. That's the last fertilizer app and the lime application at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Those 2 rounds are both obviously still important, but those are at times of the year where, if I get through those rounds faster, it's fine, because I can get on to the next round, which is important, or we can get to the end of the year in round 7 which is also important.
At the end of the year, you're just going, you know,
you're
spreading, blowing, rolling out. You're not looking for weeds or issues. No customers are involved. And it's also harder to project cash flow in that situation. You know, you got a spike in income, and then you're back down and then back up. Other thing that we try to do, we do the same thing, because it also is a reflection of us. You know, we're putting our sign in the lawn, and so we tell the client, hey, you're literally throwing money away if you're only going to do 2 or 3 applications. Not only does it look bad on us, but you're going to be unsatisfied when we come in here, we spray, and then we don't visit for another 2.5 months. Like, are you serious? It's going to look bad, and you're just throwing your money away. So we
that's exactly what I was gonna
say. Thing. We're like, well, at least 4 or 5 treatments. And then we also tell them, one way that we kind of push them a little bit towards the full program is we say, hey, you can do 4 treatments, you can do 5, that's fine, but just know there's going to be weeds in between visits. There's going to be grass problems. You're going to have disease. And so any service calls are not free. On the full program, we'll come back out free of charge and spray anything. You text us, we'll be there the next day. And so that's a big selling point. They're like, okay, so you're telling me for another $125, I've got these guys on call. So my 6 visits could go to 10 for free. And so we really push on that. So
that's exactly the same thing I was going to say. That's the two reasons. We're not coming back to give you a service call if you get less than 5 applications a year. And if you get 5, we'll probably give you 1, maybe 2. But like, you know, at some point we're going to be like, hey, if you keep getting this popping up, you need to add another round, because we obviously can't control whatever problem you're having in here with 5 applications. So we need to get at least to 6.
Yeah. Yeah. Now do you,
and I won't even put my sign in the yard if we do. Yeah. If we do less than 5, I'm not putting my sign in that yard. I tell the guys, you know, if that thing, if one, it's a newer sale, or it's only been sprayed a couple of times, or, you know, or they get less than 5 applications, those random few that we have for whatever reason, don't put sign in the yard. Yeah. I don't want anybody to know I treat that yard.
Yeah. Yeah. They got to get on my level before they get a sign. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you guys have nut sedge out there? Is that built into it?
Oh my gosh.
Like crazy.
Oh, and built into what? The
well,
program?
Is it one of those 7 steps?
Oh, so yes. So we all growing, or like all as I learned, we didn't do a blanket nut sedge app. Mm-hmm. And these past 2 years, we've started doing one round 3. So we will do.
And what are you blanket spraying with?
It's Certainty. I'm trying to think of the active ingredient.
Sulfentrazone?
No. Sulfentrazone is
Halosulfuron.
Yes, Halosulfuron is exactly what it is. I actually got a bottle of it right here.
You're spraying the good stuff, man. Halosulfuron?
Yeah.
How much?
Yeah, I mean, not on every yard, but on smaller yards that we can tank mix it, you know, that we can mix liquid fertilizer in, we'll put some Halosulfuron down around 3. And we've noticed a giant improvement of our lawn by blanketing their yard with sedge control early in the spring.
How much because, is that? Because we get like Pro Sedge, Sedge Hammer, and Pyro. Those are all, they come in the little, it almost looks like a pill bottle. And then we're putting like a 0.9 gram scoop into a backpack sprayer. I'm guessing yours has a little liquid in it. It's called Certainty.
Yeah, Certainty. You cannot do not spray that on cool season. You can't spray it on fescue.
Come on, and
you're
coming at me with some only warm season grass stuff, huh?
Yeah. But actually, so Certainty and Halosulfuron though. Certainty is a little bit different active, but they're both for sedge. So we actually did mix Halosulfuron in the spring because we could put it on fescue too. Because we do have enough fescue up here to where I don't want to come in and not be able to blanket the fescue as well, because that, you know, it gets just as much sedge in it as the Bermuda and the Zoysia does. So, we did, but now we're only just a Certainty to where, you know, if we have, we keep a backpack in the truck for fescue, but for the most part, our backpacks and our Z sprays are going to have, Certainty and, you know, like an MSM product for broadleafs.
Okay. So then walk me through round 1. You've got warm season grass. When does that start? Are you doing only pre-emergence? Because with warm season grass, you don't really need to fertilize until it's actively growing, correct?
Correct, yeah. We don't put any fertilizer down until, depending on the temperature, but we'll usually put a little bit of urea down into April, early May, which is probably a little early, especially from what my professor saw me. But when you got 600 customers, you can't, everybody's not going to get the perfect timing, you know, it just is what it is. There's no way that each and every person can get fertilizer at the exact perfect time. So we start adding a little bit of fertilizer in at the end of April, early May, but before then we're not putting out any fertilizer except on our fescue yards.
Okay. So are you on round 1, you're just doing granular pre-emerge?
No, we spray. We don't do any granular pre-emerge at all. We spray
all liquid.
Yeah, all liquid. We spray every single round.
So you do prediamine round 1?
Nope, we actually do atrazine round 1, and you can only spray that in warm season as well. Don't put that on your cool season; it'll absolutely nuke it.
And that's called what?
Atrazine.
Atrazine. Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah, and a lot of people spray simazine as well. They're kind of interchangeable. I think atrazine does a little bit better job on annual bluegrass, which is our reasoning for spraying it. So we've had pretty good luck with atrazine on annual bluegrass control, which is a huge problem down here. Mm. So I like the atrazine round 1, and then prediamine is what I would go with round 2. Prediamine and just 2,4-D, because you know you can spray prediamine and 2,4-D in literally just about anything. So
and that's you what can we're, you can switch products right on split apps. I mean, somebody can go from prodiamine to dithiapyr on two different split apps, right? It doesn't have to be the same product. So if you started prodiamine round one, you could switch to atrazine and it's just fine. Or are you doing full rates of each?
No, we don't do quite full rate, but we are pretty close. But yes, I could spray atrazine full rate, which we do spray atrazine full rate. I could spray atrazine full rate round one and then come back and spray prodiamine full rate round two. Okay. There's no issue with that because it's not the same active ingredient. Okay. So yeah, so I'm doing atrazine round one, and you couldn't flop those two though, because atrazine can only be sprayed when the grass is dormant.
Okay.
So if once you start greening up, like if for some random weird reason we started getting a little bit of green grass towards the end of round one, which in the six years I've been doing this, I don't think that's ever happened one single time.
Yep.
But if it did, I would have to pull atrazine because it would just absolutely hammer grass that was just kind of starting to green up.
Okay. That's good to know. And so on round two, are you adding broadleaf herbicide in there at that time as well?
For sure. We usually, early round two, we're usually pretty clean. But late round two, early round three is when we have broadleaf explosion around here.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys have to deal with, do y'all get fireweed in Kansas City?
I do not think so. Or at least I haven't seen a lot of it.
Okay. Yeah. Fireweed will blow in at the end of round two, early round three here, and it just is horrible. It's so easy to kill.
What does it look like?
It's just a little leafy looking. It almost looks like a tree seedling. I'm sure you guys see tree seedlings all the time. It kind of looks like a tree seedling, but it germinates so shallow in the soil that it can pretty much beat your pre-emergent. It's extremely easy to kill. It'll die with one whiff of 2,4-D. But you have to get back out there and spray it. So
it's just,
we got to make sure we're on top of our game end of round two, early round three.
Okay. And so are you usually only adding Trimec after round two, or what does that look like? Three. So it looks like three, four. Do you have a grub round in there as well?
We do not have a grub round.
Okay.
We don't seem to struggle with grubs too terribly much. I haven't seen a lot of grubs in Arkansas. I've seen a few. If a customer wants a grub control, we'll gladly give it to them. But it's not built into the program. We do one and two are pre-emergent, three, four, and five are fertilizer with weed control, and three is usually going to be split. At the beginning, it's going to be a liquid fert. As we start to get into a little bit warmer temperatures, we'll switch over to granular. And then four and five are both, four is going to be a slow release fertilizer with spot spraying, whatever kind of weeds we have. And then five is going to be a quick release, low nitrogen fertilizer. We have to pretty much completely cut out nitrogen going into the fall so we don't get spring dead spot like crazy the next spring.
Okay.
So we're going like a 5-0-30-30 on that last app. We want something that's going to give it a little quick boost of green going into the fall, be healthy, but all that nitrogen get out of there before it goes dormant.
Okay. So really, you're looking at 2, 3, 4 are heavy nitrogen rates, correct?
Not two. Are you talking about fertilizer rounds?
Yeah.
No, yeah, two would not be. Okay. Three is going to be the heavy one. Three is going to be urea. Is going to be urea. 4600 is what we spread on three.
And so how do you pump that in? Do you guys do like water-soluble like bags that you just mix in there?
Yeah, at the beginning when we're spraying, we just have water-soluble bags that we break down. We just make sure we have our, tank running, dump them in, circulate for a long time. I mean, we get really good product from Harold's. I don't know if you guys have Harold's up there. But
no, we don't.
Yeah. They have Polyon fertilizer too, which is the slow release stuff, which I think is the best in the business. Harold's and our rep, Tim. I mean, I buy pretty much everything we get, especially fertilizer from Harold's. And I think it's the most quality fertilizer you can buy.
Okay.
Their Polyon stuff is prime time, and
shout out to Harold. Look at you. Yeah. You got a non-sponsored ad here.
I'm a big Harold's guy.
Harold's the man. Now, is it a pretty big shop where people throughout the Midwest can possibly look them up?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, they're based out of Florida, I think, but they have like the office we order out of is in Tulsa, but they have reps all over the country.
Okay.
And there's nothing more frustrating than spreading a clumpy bag of fertilizer. That just does not happen with them. Huh. Like, they when we get the fertilizer, it is the most prime time, ready to spread stuff you've ever seen in your life. And we don't have to worry about our Z sprays plugging up ever. They spread so smooth, and it's just a quality product.
Nice.
I'm a big time deer hunter, and we use them on food plots too. Me and my brother-in-law, and we had the best, like, it was the first year we'd ever done one in Oklahoma last year. We had the most pristine food plot he'd ever had in his whole life, and we used Harold's Polyon fertilizer on it.
No way. Hey, now we're getting into it. I'm a fellow deer hunter myself.
It was amazing.
Are you a bow hunter?
Oh yeah, love to bow hunt. But I'm in the market for a new bow right now. So if anybody's selling a Matthews that they want to get rid of, get off their hands, let me know.
Hey, me and you both, man. I'm a lefty, so I'm fixing to close on a left-handed bow here soon too. So
nice,
listeners out there, DM us. We both need a new bow.
Yeah, that's no doubt.
Okay, so cool. Let's jump back into it here. So you got the last round now is lime. I think that's one I'm curious about. So you've got nut sedge that you're just, it's built into the program. You're blanket spraying. Are you charging extra for that, or is it?
No. So my thought on it is I'll spend the money on it round three, and it should save me a lot of money on four and five.
Okay.
So if I can spend the money on it up front, blanket them, keep them pretty much clean throughout the summer, I'm not going to have to buy sedge control a ton of it all summer.
Okay.
So yeah, of course we're going to have to spot spray. Like, there's no doubt about that. But if we can avoid these giant uses of sedge control all summer, then I'm okay with making that round three a little more expensive.
Yeah.
And then getting my money back on four and five.
Okay. And then explain to me your viewpoint on lime. Cause out here for us in cool season country, lime, I mean, it's like a waste of money for us. You know, it doesn't do much for our pH. We don't really get a lot of benefit. Is it different with warm season grass, or what's your viewpoint, and why do you do lime?
So lime, it is kind of a money-making round for us, just because the product is a lot cheaper. It's another time that we get to be on the yard.
Yeah.
Fescue clumps here in warm season are a huge problem that we have.
Okay.
So to me, the biggest benefit of that round outside of we'll start with the weed control. It is actually nice because we get to see the yard one more time when it's dormant.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have the guys put Roundup in their tanks and just spot spray fescue clumps all round seven, because that's pretty much the only weed we're going to have. You know, we just did our round six pre-emergent. We've got a lot, you know, if we've got new sales or yards that we haven't got to treat over the winter yet, that's the perfect time to go and do a lime application, but also get another application of weed control in there and control fescue clumps that we don't want in the yard.
Man, for us, cool season guys, putting Roundup in the tank, going out and spot spraying, it blows our little minds. So
yeah,
explain to our listeners, explain to our listeners what Roundup does and why you can get away with it while the warm season grass is dormant.
Yeah. So Roundup is awesome from basically November to February is usually when I feel comfortable spraying it. You know, we're 90%+ Bermuda grass. You can't spray it in Zoysia. Zoysia doesn't ever go completely dormant, so you can actually ding Zoysia pretty hard if you do spray Roundup in it. But yeah, we'll mix the Roundup into the tank at the end of the year. It's really good on new sales too. If we get a Bermuda new sale and it's the turf is still dormant, we can mix some Roundup up and just absolutely smoke everything in there, and the Bermuda won't get touched because it's dormant. It's not taking in anything. It's not taking in, you know, really not a whole lot of water. It's not taking in nutrients at all. It's just asleep basically.
Yeah.
And so we can spray Roundup all day and never have any kind of issue on Bermuda grass.
So to our listeners, that's why Roundup, we say that, but there's many other names for it. It's called, the active is glyphosate, but it literally shuts down photosynthesis because it makes the plant think that it's in the dark. So that's why it's going to kill anything, because any green plant tissue, it's going to hit that. And farms all across the U.S. use this, guys. They spread it over the acreage, kills anything green, and that's why they can seed at any time, because it only kills that. And it also doesn't have a residual. So that's why I'm assuming you can spray it on some Bermuda when it's dormant, because right after it's done, being on that green plant material, there's no residual. It's not in the soil. Yep. It's one of the safe. So all this that you hear about cancer causing stuff, it's fake. It's not true at all. Yeah. It's some of the safest stuff that you can use on products, and it will forever be in our agriculture society for that purpose. It's an amazing product. Yeah. Now, don't go out and spray it on some fescue, guys, because it'll kill it. We have clients that do that. They're like, I spot sprayed and it killed like 55 little patches.
Yeah, that's what it does. I'll tell you how low the residual is on it. And we're kind of in a bind. Me and my brother-in-law, when we were planting those food plots, we just didn't have a lot of time, and we had to do everything on like one weekend.
Yeah,
the residual on it is so low. We sprayed that morning all of the weeds out of the food plot and planted it that evening.
Yep.
And it came up perfect.
Perfect.
Yep. There was no effect on the seed that we put down at exactly. all. That's how low the residual yep. is on it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cause I do that on my personal garden every year.
Yeah.
I'll till it, spray it, put my seeds in, and it's just fine. That's yeah. cool, man. That's cool. Well, I want to hop off the program here. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I want to know a couple last questions here. What's the favorite part of Logan's day? Like, what do you enjoy the most as a part of your job?
That's a broad question.
Oh yeah.
I think mine is probably just is developing it is developing relationships with people and getting to know more people. And I don't know. I just like to be able to see seeing progress in yards that I've been treating for multiple years too. Yeah. When I come up to a yard that we picked up middle of last year, roll up to round four that we're in right now, and it's pristine, no weeds in it. I think that's probably one of my favorite things about the job and favorite parts of my day is to see a yard that the customer is so happy with it, and it's only had 4 or 5 applications. You know, that means awesome. That we're doing our job right. And they're when a customer is excited, that's probably my favorite part of the day. Customer's cool. excited about their yard.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, let me ask you this little tougher question here. I'm going to throw you a zinger. All right. But it's going to be right down the middle. If someone was to ask you the perfect question, because of your story, past experiences, something you're passionate about, share what would that question be and what is your answer? I want this to be something that you feel like, oh man, I wish somebody would ask me this.
Wow. I get a lot of people asking me why we work the schedule that we do. And so the schedule that we work is 7 to 5 Monday through Thursday. Now that obviously is pending rain. A lot of times we're going to have to work more than that, you know, Fridays and some Saturdays when we're in the rainy season. But I love it when people say, why on earth would you only work 4 days a week and be in the industry that you're in?
Yeah.
And my answer to that question is if I can keep guys from getting burned out and keep guys looking forward to coming to work every day, they're going to be a lot happier with their job, and they're going to do a lot better job for me. So I think
Logan, you're going to steal all my team members, man. I might have to edit this out.
Quality of life is extremely important to me, and it's important to a lot of guys that I hire too. Yeah. And I don't want people to work their life away. I don't want to work my life away. And that's why if I have guys coming in and working on a Saturday, I'm going to be right there working beside you. Because I don't want to work on a Saturday, and I don't want you to have to work on a Saturday, but everybody understands that there's going to be days where that has to happen.
Yeah.
But my promise to them is I'm going to make it happen as little as possible. And if it does happen, I will be here at 7 a.m. opening the door to the shop when you come in.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Well, what are you doing then Friday, Saturday, Sunday? What do you like to do on your off days?
Hunting, fishing, whatever. I don't spend a whole lot of time inside. You know, I told you off air before we started that my parents have a cabin up on Bull Shoals Lake in Bull Shoals, yeah. Arkansas, but we like to go trout fishing a whole lot. So spend a lot of time doing that. Spend a lot of time hunting, spend a lot of time, you know, my wife and I, she actually likes to hunt and fish too. So we do a lot of that together. Go hiking, just awesome. Anything outside that we can do, you'll pretty much always find. Golfing, like like to golf too.
That's awesome, man. And I don't think people know how diverse like an outdoor paradise Arkansas is. I mean, you've got fly fishing, you've got regular bass fishing, you've got hunting, hiking. It's crazy to me because in Kansas, like if I start to head towards Colorado, there's nothing. Like you better, you go ahead and pack you a lunch because you're going to be getting to Denver before you see anything. But then you drive 3 hours and get into Arkansas and it's the same type of feel, you know, it's beautiful bluffs. It's kind of mountainous, it's hilly, and it's just, and the duck hunting out there is unreal, honestly.
Oh yeah. It's the natural state. And it's crazy though, because you go from the west side of the state, which is pretty much all Ouachita Mountains, in the south part, the Ozark Mountains in the north part. But the further east you go, you start flattening out. So you can literally go from like, you'd be in Russellville, you'll still be in the Ozark Mountains, Mount Magazine, Mount Nebo. But then you start getting into Little Rock, it starts turning into farming country.
Yeah.
And all of East Arkansas, like you're saying, which is duck hunting. The duck hunting is phenomenal because we're the rice capital of the world. We're right in the middle of the flyway. And they grow so much rice over in East Arkansas. They're just crazy good duck hunting over there.
I didn't know that.
So you go from mountains in the west side of the state to farmland and like basically prairie on the east side of the state.
Wow. What do I got to do to get a trout fishing invite?
Shoot, man. My dad would take you trout fishing any day of the week. You don't even have to ask for it. Come on.
Just show up.
Just show up. He's always looking for somebody.
As long as it's not Monday through Thursday, you'll be around too.
Yep. He gets mad at me because I don't go near as much as he'd want to, but he's got a lot of buddies that like to go with him. So he doesn't, he would live up there if my mom would let him.
Man, that's awesome. Living the dream, yeah. Living the dream.
For sure.
Well, cool, Logan. I appreciate you sharing your story, and that's awesome. You've had a really cool journey and seems like you're doing some really good things. I want to know too, you seem to be pretty active on Instagram. You know a lot of guys in your area as well. Who do you know that we should have on our podcast eventually?
Well, I think Eric Hill is a big time guy that I think you followed him or he followed you or something was how I saw that anyway. And Eric's a young guy. He's younger than me. I'm 27. Eric's actually, I think he's 19 and running his own business. And he comes from an entrepreneurial family. His dad has a big electrical company here in Northwest Arkansas. And Eric is doing stuff right. He's doing stuff, it needs to be done. And him and his guys do a really good job. They're a mower. Okay. He's a mower and a landscaper.
So where's he out of and what's the name of his company?
Fay Arc Lawn Co. He's out of Fayetteville.
Okay.
I think, yeah, you should be able to find him on there. I think that's how I found you was through him actually.
Okay.
Cool. So yeah, I think he's already following you and liking stuff. And
yep. I think I have reached out to him. Awesome. Awesome. Well then, yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Eric. I just saw him yesterday. Actually, he was mowing the yard next door to the house that I was treating. And, We swap shirts a lot, and I refer him stuff. He refers me stuff. So
that's cool.
Eric does a great job.
Yeah, we'll get him on here for sure. And if we don't, make sure you text him or next time you see him, say, hey man, you need to link up with Britt. We'd love to hear his story. So cool, Logan. Well, I want to wrap up here and give you a chance to tell people where can they connect with you if they've got more questions around trout fishing, warm season grass, your story. Just want to find you. Where do you hang out on?
Yeah, social media, I'm mostly going to be on NWA Turf Pro is the business page. LPAD 8 is my personal page. So yeah, if anybody has any questions, I'm pretty active on both of those and I can respond or get back with them however they see fit to reach out to me.
Awesome. Awesome. That sounds good, Logan. I appreciate you being on the podcast, and I know our listeners are going to enjoy this and get a lot of value from it.
All right. I appreciate you too, Britt.
All right. You keep at it, man. Bye-bye.
Yep. Thanks for having me on. Bye.
All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Lawn Care Leaders Podcast. Please click in the show notes for more information on our guest, our info around sponsors. There'll be links there. And one thing we realized, guys, is that the big companies, the top 100, we wanted to start this podcast off interviewing them, but the real value is found in the small business owners, the solopreneurs, the 1-to-4-man crews, the guys just like me and you out there hoofing it. So if you would like to be on the show, or if you know someone who wants to be on the show, please have them DM us. They can reach out to us on Instagram or on Facebook by just searching Lawn Care Leaders Podcast, and would love to have them on the show. So please continue the conversation on Instagram and Facebook. And until then, keep at it. We'll be back with you again next week.